Go to Psalm 31, verse 23. This is a character trait. Last week was a something you do, although you do have to have the right attitude when you give. But giving is something that leads more directly to an action. Faithfulness is like honesty. Honesty is what you are. Now, it does affect what you do, but it's hard to see in one action. Faithfulness is also something, it's a character trait of what you choose to adopt in your life that is not seen in one action, it's seen in many actions. So this is a character trait. The word faithfulness, it means dependable. Faithfulness is the most important quality a Christian can have. I know a lot of talented people that have a lot of abilities, but you can never depend on them. So that's why we make the statement, well, no, if you have this talent and this talent, faithfulness is the most important quality that a Christian can have, because it doesn't matter how talented you are. If people can't depend on you, then I'm going to make a strong statement, then you're unusable. If you're not dependable, they're starting to say on jobs, on construction jobs, the hardest day is Monday. Most of the workers come in hungover. And when you talk to those that oversee work crews, they're saying, they say it used to be if you came in Monday late, hungover and stuff like that, that, you know, okay, three strikes you're out or two strikes you're out or whatever. They said it's getting so prevalent, Monday is almost, it's almost a given. Not in all places, but I've heard several employers talk about that. I remember in school, you could only miss, you'd never be tardy to school, never. Then they kept attendance, and you could over-absence. This is in high school. You could over-absence a class, and then I remember I was in a class of 84 students. I think there were three that didn't graduate because they, maybe it was two. But anyways, it was a small number, but they didn't graduate because they over-absenced. They missed too many days. If you ask public school records now, they don't even keep track of it. Because so many kids miss, and then they got the online thing, and then teachers don't want to keep track of it. Well, if you learn faithfulness as a young person, all that's supposed to be taught in school. You grow up being on time. You grow up, I like hearing Dr. Zachary. He said, I used to fake sickness. I'd tell my mom I was sick, you know, and then I'd stay home all day and play the piano. And I was like, wow, he grew up like I did. If I wanted to stay home and I'd fake sickness too, you know what I mean? But you only did that like, you know, you didn't do it over and over again. You did it like maybe 3 or 4 days a year. Nowadays, they don't even keep track of it. It's sad. I was talking to some high school students and two other schools, and I said, do they keep track of your attendance? And they said, oh no. And I said, there'd be so many flunkies. It's just like padding the grades now. They don't flunk kids anymore. They want to get them out of the system. So they just pad the grades and let them go. Well, they're padding grades. They're not keeping track. Where is this learned? Now imagine when those kids get out in life, they were passed. They're hard to deal with. That's the snowflakes. That's the I deserve it and I've never been in trouble before and now you're getting on my case and so the whole world is against me, victim mentality type thinking. But it's because our society is generating that. Parents aren't demanding. So it's a different day. Faithfulness is a character trait. It's the most important quality a Christian can have. Look at Psalm 31. Look at verse number 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. And then look at this promise from the Lord. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. So God says, if you're faithful, if you're dependable, then God says, I will preserve you. There are some things God does for you when you're faithful. Proverbs 28, verse 20. Go over one book. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful or a dependable man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So there's a gambling thought that's opposite of faithfulness. People who are hurry up to make rich, those are your gamblers. You know, spend a little, make a lot type deal. God says here, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. God promises blessings and preservation to the faithful. Let's look at one more. 1 Corinthians in your New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, first of all, who's a steward? A steward is someone put in charge of the affairs and the possessions of another. When you got saved, one of your titles became a saint. to the saints that are in Colossae, to the saints in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, you became a saint. Another title that God gives you when you get saved is steward. You're a steward. You've been put in charge of the time and the possessions of God. Your time belongs. In other words, the more you grasp that concept, you're going to give an account one day how you spent your time, how you spent your money, how you spent your talents, because all of us are stewards. My wife was given to me by the Lord. I'm going to give an account one day of how I lead her. I'm a steward. My children were given to me from the Lord. Well, no, those are your kids. I'm going to give an account to God as a steward for what I did with what God gave me, people-wise, time-wise, money-wise. So we're all stewards, and it says, moreover, it is required in stewards us that a man be found faithful. God says, one of the things I require of you is this. You say, why is this so important? If you knew me in high school, I would go home. I didn't go to school functions. I didn't like school. I was beat up in school and stuff like that, beat up on the way to school. My fun in life really came from my church. My youth group, nobody picked on me there. Everybody was friendly, but I did not like school. I was not a talented anything. I didn't go to, I think I went to one school function. I didn't go to any proms. I didn't do that. I just didn't like being around those people. When I got saved and I went to Hiles Anderson College, and here I am in Bible college, I started hearing preachers preach, be faithful. Everybody's not talented, but everybody can be faithful. Everybody doesn't have the same skills, but everybody can be faithful. God can give you the talents if you'll be faithful. But if you're talented with unfaithfulness, God can't use you. And I used to go, I think that's me. Dear God, help me to be faithful. I want to be dependable. I wanted God to use me, and I knew I wasn't an artist. I wasn't a singer. I was plain vanilla, ordinary Joe. You know what I mean? I was about as plain and ordinary as they come. And when I heard faithfulness, you should strive for faithfulness as a Christian, I was like, wow, I don't have to be talented like everybody else is. God wants to use me. And it gave me value in the Christian life as far as gave me something to shoot for. I may not be talented, but I can be where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. I can work on me. And that's why this is so important to me. As we look at faithfulness, what should a Christian be faithful to? Well, I would think the first thing you want to be faithful to is the Lord. I understand this is a quality that others can see. But if God sees you all the time, then you should say, I want to be faithful to God. And you only do that by knowing Him through His Word, right? We only know God through His Word. So the next thing you would be faithful to, I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be faithful to the Word of God. There's a verse, Revelation 22:7, we won't go there. Then I want to be faithful to what God has shown me. God is our example. Go to Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Psalm 36, verse 5. I think this quality makes for a strong Christian. When I hear older Christians say, I just want to be faithful to the Lord. When I die, I want to have been found faithful. What is it that Jesus says we'll hear when we go into heaven? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I may not be able to be talented, I just want to be faithful. And the one I want to be faithful to is God. That makes for a strong Christian, that heart cry. Psalm 36, verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I know that this is a basic truth. I don't think you doubt God's faithfulness, but I want you to see one more. Go to Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They, the Lord's mercies and compassions, are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Probably some of the most uplifting, encouraging words in the Bible. And then we sing that song, great is thy faithfulness. Great, that's where it's taken from. So God sets the standard for faithfulness. He is our example. What's beautiful about this is if God said He would save you, He saved you when you called on His name. If God promised you eternal life, then He's faithful. Then you have eternal life. Then you'll never die and go to hell. Your sins are all gone. God set the standard. He's faithful. His word, you know, you heard somebody say, are you a man of your word? His word is dependable. What He has spoken is true. And so as I view God that way, He's my example. Faithfulness determines how much God can use you. 1 Timothy 1:12. Your faithfulness determines how much God can use you, ties in with the most important quality a Christian can have, is faithfulness. And I think Christ Jesus our Lord, what a verse, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What's the word ministry mean? That doesn't mean, can mean called to be a missionary, called to be a pastor, called to be a Christian school teacher, full-time servant of God where you get your paycheck from the church. It can mean that, but what does the word ministry mean? The word ministry means serve, an area of service. So God, according to your faithfulness, gives you areas to serve in, but you don't get an area to serve in until you're faithful. God saw that I was faithful. So then God put me in the ministry. Let me have an area to serve. I think one of the greatest things you should want as a Christian is a Sunday school teacher. To influence the life of a child or a teenager or anybody for God with the Word of God is one of the, wow, that God would use me that way. I think it's one of the greatest aspirations a Christian can have. Lord, please use me to influence somebody else to love You and be used of You. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is when you read the verse, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I think the Apostle Paul had a lot of educational credentials. Pharisee of the Pharisees, Hebrew of the Hebrews, all of this, leader of them. And yet, he said, when God saw my faithfulness, ooh, that guy's got character. That guy could be used to the Lord. Well, your character goes both ways. If you have character and God can use you, the devil also sees that too. Ooh, I could use him. If they'll give themselves to me, I could use them. And normally somebody that's nasty, if they'll get saved, sometimes they don't, but when they do, if they'll use the same energy they used for the devil as they use for God, wow, they can turn some areas upside down. They can do things for God. God enables you or gives you what you need after you've been faithful. Your faithfulness determines how God can use you. That's 1 Timothy 1:12. Go to Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household? That's steward. To give them meat in due season. There's the serving. The reason I'm telling you that is this chapter is in accordance to when Jesus comes, the one requirement He's looking for is faithfulness, dependability. Because you get 70 years here on this earth, some a little more, some a little less, but you get basically 80, 60, and 10, 70 years. Based on what you do with your life as a Christian determines what God gives you during the millennium. 1,000 years, His people, the saints, the saved, will be given rulership. You could look at this, and He's made us kings and priests, and will rule and reign with Him 1,000 years in Revelation. There's other verses, I just don't have time to cover it. But what you do with your life right now, and your faithfulness to God, determines what you will do for 1,000 years when Jesus is reigning in Jerusalem. You got 70 years to live for God, or whenever it was you got saved, till you die. If you understand that, your faithfulness, here it says, when the Lord comes, your faithfulness, verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, find him so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. How you live now, your dedication to God, your love for the Lord, your faithfulness, your commitment, now, in the short years that you have, determines when Jesus is reigning what you're going to do for God. Some will be made mayors. Some will be made governors. Some will be made presidents. Some will be garbage collectors. During the thousand-year reign of Jesus, you're not going to ask anybody, what'd you do for God? Oh, wow, where are you from? Yeah, I was from America. You're not going to have to ask anybody. You'll know what they did based on what they're doing. You'll see people. This truth is all through the Bible. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Verse 1, verse 2 is what I want you to see. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So this is the pastoral epistles. This is God telling a pastor. Paul's telling Timothy, but Paul's in heaven and Timothy's in heaven. God's telling a pastor here, what you've been taught, you look for men in the church that are faithful. That's the first requirement that I am to look for in the men in our church. I know some churches, and I've heard of this, if you walk through the door and you've been there 3 weeks and they'll grab you and put you here, you go over here to this Sunday school, and they don't even check on membership. It's not important to them. It's just, here, I got something for you to do. And I don't operate that way. I think you ought to grow till you can become faithful before I give you something to do. You say, well, how come I can't? There's so much to do around here. My wife and I are not going to be able to do it all. But when I'm talking about serving people, I'm talking about leadership positions, nursery, Sunday school, working with children, bus visitation, workers, inviting people to church. The requirements for that, the first one I'm told as a pastor is faithfulness. And somebody said, boy, this is really talking frank. Look, God put you in the church to serve. You're here to learn the Bible until you can grow enough to serve. Not eat, sleep, and excrete until you die. Although I realize I should be patient as a pastor with everybody that comes to church until they can grow to serve. In other words, well, what do you do with the Christians that don't do nothing? Love them and help them and pray for them. But they have to be, God says, the first quality that I'm supposed to look at in all the men in the church is faithfulness. Then as they become faithful, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school's important. As they become faithful, then I always invite everybody soul winning. Soul winning's important. It's a basic. Do you have to go soul winning with our church to be right with God? No, you don't. But if you're going to be in a leadership position over children, over teenagers, over this, then they need to see you serving. It'd just be like if you were a Sunday school teacher and the kid came to church and they're like, where's my Sunday school teacher? I don't know. I think they slept in this morning. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, what does it do to the one you're leading? It doesn't help them. They cannot grow past the spirituality of the leader. So God tells me, in other words, I don't play favorites in our church. I hope I don't. Okay, I'm sure everybody thinks they're wonderfully equal. Okay, I hope I don't play favorites in our church. Somebody said, well, what do you got to do to serve around here? That's why I put it on the back of the bulletin. Well, you need to be saved. Praise the Lord. Then you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But you need to be faithful. How can I put a Christian that's not faithful yet in a leadership position? Well, they'll grow to the opportunity. You can't do that. You cannot put a carrot in front of somebody's face. Your growth is not supposed to be so that you can one day have a position in the church. Your growth is supposed to be, I love the Lord. I want to be faithful to Him. I want to be faithful to His Word. Dear God, use me. That has to be your motive. It can't be, if you'll keep coming to church, I'll let you. You want to be a bus captain? I'll let you be a bus captain. You can't do that. People don't. They'll do it a couple of times, and then they're going to settle back to where they were. That's why God says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And we're always looking. I think every church is like this. We're looking for people to help other people in the church. Your ability, well, I'm not a teacher. You learn to teach. Everybody learns to teach. How else can you lead someone to Christ? You're going to have to verbally instruct them. Everybody has to learn to teach. Everybody is not a teacher, but everybody learns to teach because that's what we do. That's part of Christianity. Now, faithfulness determines how much God can use you. And I tried to show you 2 Timothy 2:2. Go to John 16:12. Amazing verse. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I want you to think about it just for a second. God says, everybody in the church is at a different level. I know what I'm going to preach this morning. I'm going to preach on temptation. I'm going to preach a message on temptation, the temptations of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. But there'll be some things I say in there that will literally go right over a few people's heads because they're not there yet. There'll be other people in there, they've heard it before. They've heard it before. But Jesus says, I grow you individually based on where you're at, and God says, I never give you more than you can handle. Have you ever noticed when you're reading your Bible and it's like, oh wow, look at that, and it's been there the whole time, but you couldn't receive it. You weren't there yet. God didn't rewrite His Word. God just shows you things to grow you in your Christian life. You are responsible to what God has shown you. I will teach the Bible, and I try to teach it on a level that you can receive it, but you're not responsible for what God has shown me. You're responsible to God for what He has shown you out of His Word, what He has touched your heart about, what He's convicted you about. When I got saved, God touched my heart about, convicted me about my filthy mouth. Did I still have a tobacco problem? Yes. Did I still have an alcohol problem? Yes. I still had, but I wasn't ready to receive it yet. So God touched my heart about that sin. Aren't you glad God doesn't give you the whole boatload when you get... We get discouraged and quit. God says, if you look it up in the Old Testament, it's a beautiful phrase, little by little, God says, I will chase out the evil people from your land. God says, if I did it all at once and made you insta-Christian, He said, there's some people, they wouldn't handle it right. So God, how does God grow us? Little by little. The reason I'm telling you that, John 16:12, beautiful phrase. Jesus said, I have a lot to teach you, but you can't handle it right now. So I'm going to take you on a path. And that's why I'm trying to drive home this morning. When you compare yourselves to other people, you hurt yourself very badly. Well, they can do that. How come I can't do that? I love this phrase. There are some things that other people can do that you may not do because God's already told you that's wrong. And God hasn't shown them yet. But if you're always comparing yourself to other, well, they listen to that, or they do that, or they go there, or do y'all see? There are some things that others may not do that you're doing right now because God hasn't convicted you about it yet. I love it. I have many things to teach you, but you can't handle it right now. So when you can spiritually handle it, when you grow, I'll teach you more. That's what Jesus is saying. So could I encourage you this morning, this idea of faithfulness, you're responsible to God for what He teaches you out of His Word. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's not talking to a lost person. That's talking to a Christian. What truths have you been given since you've been saved? What have you heard preached? God says, listen to it, hold on to it, write it down, lest it slips. The word, it slips away. God says, you're responsible for what you've been taught as a Christian. Hold on to it. Look at Hebrews 5, look at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. In other words, we can preach on this subject, but it's going to go right over your head because you're not spiritually prepared to handle that truth. That's not a slap in the face. It's me as a pastor trying to tell everybody, everybody in the church is at a different level. Everybody. There'll be some people that get out of the sermon this morning something totally different than what you would get out of it. You say, why? Because they either couldn't handle the harshness of it, or they've heard it before, and God uses the truth to touch their heart about something else. All I'm trying to tell you is I wish you viewed your relationship with the Lord as personal. And what has God shown you? What has God taught you? Don't compare yourselves with other people. Faithfulness is the most important quality that a Christian can have. And then, what else are we supposed to be faithful to? People are supposed to be faithful to their church. Numbers 12:7, God told everybody that Moses was faithful in all his house. Beautiful statement. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 say we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And Luke 4:16 says, as his custom was, Jesus was faithful to assemble when he was here on this earth. You can't be a strong Christian without faithfulness to church. It's impossible. Okay? God designed because of the purpose of the church. Be faithful to church. Be faithful what? Be faithful to your spouse that God gives you, if God gives you one. Proverbs chapter 5 and a lot of other places. Luke 16, look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? A lot in those verses, but Jesus said, your faithfulness, it's a character trait. In other words, if you can be committed to your job, you can be committed to the Lord. If your faithfulness is a character trait that you display the same level in every area of your life, your friends, your ability to commit yourself and be depended on. It's the same throughout your life. It's not high here and low here, or low here and high here. It's the same. That's why when I got saved, I said, if I could stay up and party all night for Satan, I think I can go to an all-night prayer meeting. Satan used to get me all night long. And it was like, who cares? If I had that same abandonment before I got saved, then why couldn't I use that abandonment and surrender for the Lord? Faithfulness is a character trait, and if you're faithful in little, you're faithful in much.